Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
La 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 la.
You had to put your
la 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 la. Do 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 do. Put in my pop filter on.
Welcome to Suggestible, the show where Claire will sing at you, even if you don't want to. But at least you don't have to live with it every day, like I do.
James will make a kombucha, or not make. You'll never make anything, but you'll drink a kombucha any day of the week. Mm-hmm. Your feet liquid that you enjoy.
Why would I make a kombucha when I could buy it?
Do you know that kombucha comes from this thing that's kind of like a jello-like bacteria substance called like scaly or something?
Everything's gross and poisonous or whatever.
Yeah, well, I'll Google you a picture of kombucha.
It's not going to help. Bacteria. I don't care. I've seen it. I don't give a shit.
All right, it's probably good for you. This is Suggestible Podcast. We recommend you stuff to watch, read and listen to. I'm Claire. James is also. We are married and let's bloody get this show on the proverbial road.
I agree.
Am I right?
Why don't you tell me what you've been watch, reading or listening to?
No, I'm busy. I'm Googling kombucha.
All right, well, while you're doing
you do
that,
it first.
I'll start.
And I won't listen to you.
I'm going to talk about the Fear Street trilogy. Are you familiar with the Fear Street books?
No.
There are some R.L. Stine books that started in the very late 80s. And
how do I not know that? Because I loved Goosebumps. 90s.
Yeah, so the reason you might not have read them is because as Goosebumps were taking off, that was the age that you were, and these were like for older kids. So there was like more gore and horror and terror and people being murdered and stuff, right? So all three of these movies were directed by Lee Janiak? I don't know, but anyway, which is an incredible feat because it's three.
I'm interrupting you. Just look at that. It's called SCOBY.
Care.
It's bacteria
that
in a jar.
It looks like a chocolate mousse or something.
What, are you insane? Look at this one.
Yeah, it looks like
it's
a tiramisu.
Like mold sitting on the top of it. It's disgusting. Anyway.
You eat yogurt. What do you think yogurt is?
Yeah, good point. Sorry, continue.
So it's, she managed to direct these three movies back to back and they're all interwoven, right? Again, based on the R.L. Stine books of the same name. The overall story centers around teenagers who work to break the curse that has been over their city for hundreds of years. So the idea was initially, again, shoot these back to back, which again is it's incredible. It's a really difficult thing to do. Movie trilogies tried every now and then.
I could shoot you in the
then.
Back if you like.
What?
Pew 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 pew. You said shoot back
if you're
to back.
If you got to interrupt, it has to be a good joke, Claire. The rule is, if you're going to derail, I guess it can be annoying, which I guess this is.
The joke, is it taking you this? I mean, we're nearly up to 100 episodes. I don't know how many we've done.
I think this is 101.
Oh, God, we didn't do anything fun for it or anything.
No, we did a great show, and that's fun.
I don't think it's 100, surely.
I'm pretty sure it is.
All right, well.
Right in, let us know if it's 100.
I'm good.
On Big Sandwich, Rob Collings.
78.
Rob Collings has been. Your numbering system is wrong because Collings has been numbering them in Big Sandwich and we're over 100.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, oh, shit.
If I'd known it was 100, I would have done something fun.
I wouldn't. I'm glad I knew and I didn't say anything. So, anyways, trilogies are shot back to back or attempted all the time and very often it does not work. There's a few examples of this working. So the idea was that they were going to be released a month apart in cinemas, which would have been a really interesting release strategy as well because does the box office – does it help? Does it hinder? Do you know what I mean?
Can we call it interesting?
Well, it's interesting because
– To you,
it could,
maybe.
Yeah, well, it could not because it's the change obviously because of the pandemic. Because it would have been interesting to see if it actually paid off because if the first one isn't well received, people aren't going to see the next two. Do you know what I mean? Especially like a month after. So Netflix ended up buying them and they went out – every Friday night for 3 weeks. Yeah, so the first one's set in 1994, second one's set in 1978, and the third one's set in 1666.
Ooh, and step back in time.
You get some characters.
All our confusion when nothing is new, and there's nothing to it.
I will leave.
Step
you think back I won't
in
leave?
R.L. Stine.
What's happening? I don't.
I said step back in R.L. Stine.
Oh, very good. I will leave the room. You think I won't? I will literally leave the room and not come back. And that will be the show. And it will be a lesson to everybody. To you and to everybody listening who encourages your nonsense and shenanigans.
Why
I'm not here for it.
Why is the line now is that you'll leave the room? You just keep doing that. You've done that a couple of times. Everyone knows you don't really mean it.
Just try me. See what happens.
No, I don't want you to leave the
Anybody who listens to my more successful show, The Weekly Planet, knows that I run on pure spite.
I know. I've been married to you for many years. I know you run on pure spite. I know that you will hold like a grudge up against someone for so many years that they will have forgotten about the whole incident and then you will get
them. I could walk out and just not do the show again. Just pure spite. Even though I enjoy doing it, I'll be like, no, I'm just not going to do it because I know it makes somebody else slightly more unhappy. Or not even, just a little bit unhappy. I'll wear that.
Okay, fine.
Anyway,
just before you continue, can you at least acknowledge my wonderful joke, Step Back In, Narelle Stein?
Okay, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good joke.
Just came out of nowhere.
It was really
surprised me.
I don't know where these ideas come from. But you get some character crossover and people play also different people from different eras. And it captures, you know, eras reasonably well, I think.
Like years or eras?
Both. In the 90s, that's the only era that I was alive for. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. You know, it's got some music and whatever. And, you know, I remember school lockers, which I'm sure still exist. No, now kids don't have lockers. Now they have TikTok. They store all their books in TikTok. That's what I've heard. Anyways, so the idea is that people every now and then in this town, just somebody for no reason will...
breaks out into song and dance.
Sometimes. But will go insane and it could be a nice person, a weird person, whatever, and then start murdering people until they're put down. But every time there's a new murderer, there's another person who can then be brought back to because it's kind of supernatural. So every time it happens, there's a new murderer that will then come back. So sometimes there's murders from all different eras. There could be like half a dozen at a time, you know, running about murdering people, right? So... initially, I wasn't really that into it. I was like, this is fine, so standard, whatever. But as the stories become more interwoven and you get more backstory and you learn more about the characters, and even though the second one is set in like 1978, you still do get some stuff from the characters in 1994, and same with the last one. And it culminates in like a really interesting way, and I think it's got a really satisfying payoff and there's really great twists and turns. And if you like horror and like gory horror, because there's even a moment where a person gets their head pushed through a bread slicer.
What? Why would I want to watch that?
Yeah, they kill people you like or don't. Like, they killed a lot of people I didn't like either.
I'm going to stop you right there, Sonny Bob. Mm. I've had a lot of vegetables today, so I'm sorry about the general smell in the studio.
Can't smell anything.
All right, okay. Well, how Collie's got that out. No one needs to know.
I guess. Well, I don't know why you said it then.
I don't know either.
I wouldn't have brought that up because I'm a gentleman.
Silly mood.
I can tell.
I had a fistful of chocolate chips before we started.
A fistful?
The only chocolate in our house because we all otherwise will eat it. Yep. Is some chips I bought for baking.
I got some terrible protein bars.
I know, they're awful. Anyway, so I just jammed a fistful in. No, I don't want to eat one of those. No.
They're Rocky Road.
Oh, no, I don't like, no, I'm not into it. I just want regular chocolate cooking chips. Anyway, where was I going with this?
I don't know, I'm on my phone, so you keep going until you're finished and then I'll come back.
No,
I'm interested.
No, please don't do
I'm
this.
Interested. I'm listening.
Please, you're so annoying.
Oh, am I?
Don't go on your phone.
Am I now?
You know how I hate that. You know how I hate that. I hate that.
Sorry, go on. You ate some chocolate and you're farting up a storm. Go
ahead. I didn't say farting. I just said it smelt a bit.
I had a lot of
vegetables today.
What's happening?
Do you know vegans and vegetarians fart a lot?
Everybody farts.
I know. I had this exact conversation with my son today who keeps trying to shock me by saying like poo and fart jokes and I just keep going deadpan back at him. Yeah, everybody farts. Everybody poos. And then I like kill the joke.
But now,
yeah, for him, but not for us because it's endlessly amusing. Mm. No, we were talking. Oh, yes, this is what I came to. Other than obviously my admittance.
Why do I like gory things?
Yes, there is something worrying about you.
Me?
Yes.
Then it's not even the genre that I particularly enjoy.
But I have noticed something about you. You enjoy watching shows where you never know who's going to get killed, especially people that you like.
Yes.
What is that about?
Because it's interesting. Because if it's just like you know someone's going to survive all of the time and
then
no
the villain's always going to die.
Who cares?
Or the like background characters are going to die.
Who cares?
Right. It's nothing to do with the fact that in real life you just don't know if someone's going to be murdered at any point either.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe there might be a... These are popular movies. Do you not understand the horror genre? They're hugely popular. It's like one of the most popular genres.
I know. I'm
and
not
it keeps
saying,
reinventing itself every few
I'm not
years.
Saying that you are not a basic bitch that is the same as a lot of
oh,
other
I'm sorry,
people.
Fucking Jane Austen over here with your Mr. Darcy crush. Like it's fucking 1994. Fucking calm down.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, what Colin Firth in his wet shirt. Get over it. It was like 20 fucking 5 years ago.
I have moved on, thank you very much. Not very far.
Yeah, but
no, I really haven't. Look, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, I'm in a silly mood. I'm very sorry. Collins can edit out the bit where I called you a basic bitch.
I don't care. I want you to leave it in.
Anyway, all I was pointing out was that's an interesting part of the human psyche. Like, that's why people like Game of Thrones, because, like, characters that they really liked could just get murdered at any point.
It's not necessarily about murder. It's about, like, consequences and that there's stakes. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, it's stakes.
Yeah.
I get that. Not the meaty variety. The like,
I mean, it could be
the nerve wracking
yeah.
kind of stakes.
But yeah, again, as it becomes more interwoven and kind of the villain is revealed, because initially, or not even initially, for like, it's like there's a witch. There's this woman from 1666 who's a witch and she's cursed the land, and that's why this is happening. And you find more and more about it. As you go on, you find out more about people in the community and how people are connected and why people are more successful than others, et cetera. It's interesting because it does have a very kind of Stranger Things-esque kind of feel. And even though it wasn't produced by Netflix, it was bought by Netflix. Lee Janiak is actually married to one of the Stranger Things guys. I can't remember which one. They're called the Duffer Brothers. So I don't know whether that had any influence on like each other's stories or vice versa. But it does kind of have that vibe. And it's pretty good. Like it's – I didn't really, again – initially think much of it, but I liked the concept and they might be doing more and it was cool. I liked it.
Sounds really cool, actually.
Do you like Scream or like, I don't know, horror movies, I guess?
This is your genre of choice.
Yeah, just, you know, if you like,
I know what you did last summer.
Yeah, it's that kind of vibe? I mean, but again, it changes because it's the second one is more like Jason. Have you ever seen the Halloween? Not Halloween, the other ones.
It is safe to say I have not seen any horror
Friday
movies.
The 13th movies, where the second one is set in 1978 at a camp where one of the camp counselors goes crazy and starts murdering people, and it's very, you know, it's very Friday the 13th with Jason, and that's what those stories are about. And then in 1666 is like a whole different story again because it's like witch trials and you know what I mean, and people with you know suspicions about each other and who's a witchcraft and who's the devil and whatever. Also, there's a bunch of queer characters in it as well. So
which is awesome. Yeah. I, as a like a young adult, so like a teen, was, and maybe even sort of like a tween, was obsessed, and I kind of still am, with witches.
Do you love the movie The Craft with Neve Campbell?
Yeah, I really did.
There's a new series.
And Charmed. I love the series Charmed, which obviously, you know, is what it is. And like I was really fascinated by the Salem witch trials. I read a lot of fantasy books around the idea, like even Joan of Arc and the idea of women as witches and that whole notion of them being kind of magic medicine women in a way and being ostracized and murdered by society.
Yeah, but
I just found that so interesting.
They were just murdering women, really, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Particularly it seems to be murdering women who were intelligent, who were different, who were thinkers, who maybe didn't fit the mold, weren't happy to just be servants. Maybe didn't bear children and also held knowledge that the church leaders, and particularly around pagan kind of knowledge that church leaders didn't have. Anyway, I'm not an expert in this realm by any means, but it's always been a topic that I would love to delve more into because I think it's so fascinating.
Then you should.
I should, actually. I really should. And I just used to love fantasy tween novels about that whole thing.
Yeah.
I read a lot of kind of tween fantasy novels, and I can't remember the names of them now, that kind of bridged that gap around women being called witches in a village, in a medieval kind of village, who were also kind of midwives and brought babies into the world and were like the medical medicine kind of woman of the village. And they used a whole lot of like herbs and like natural remedies to heal people. And that was then seen as them being some kind of strange outcast or witch. And I just found that whole idea really interesting too. And I don't know how true to life that is or whether that was a narrative that did actually happen. But it But that kind of historical, I got really into that kind of historical stuff. There was a series called The Alana Chronicles, which was not really about witches, but it was about Alana, who was a knight.
Okay.
And this kind of mythical medieval kind of land, and she becomes this like really kick-ass knight and has adventures and there's magic and spells, and she, you know, had to pretend to be a boy for a while to like be taken seriously. Anyway, it's a really good like kind of, or it was when I read it back in the 90s. I loved it.
Great.
Cool. Okay. Can I talk about mine now?
Sure. That was really boring. But what's next?
I'm so sorry. Let's be nice to each other again.
No, this is the tone. You've said it. And I'm this close to walking out, Claire. Now, what have you
got? All right, I'll be nice now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, I have a much more serious recommendation this week. Oh. It's called Misrepresented with Annabelle Crabb.
So yes.
Briefly talked about it last week, and it's Ms., so like MS, represented. Mm. It's written and created by Annabelle Crabb, who's an Australian writer and journalist, and directed by Stamia Marupaz. It is the best documentary I have seen possibly ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Annabelle's always wanted to create this. She's a political commentator and really excellent at that kind of sphere as well.
Yeah.
And she always wanted to create this documentary because this is 100 years after Australia elected its very first female parliamentarian, Edith Cowan, and she presents this raw and honest account of politics from the female perspective over the last 100 years. So it also has a cast of female politicians, past and current.
Okay.
So the cast is a list of female firsts. Julia Gillard, our first female prime minister. Anne Ali, who's the first woman of Islamic faith to be elected to the federal parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Bronwyn Bishop, the first New South Wales woman elected to the Senate. Julie Bishop, the first woman to serve as deputy leader of the Liberal Party, which is our conservative party. Sarah Hanson-Young, who's the youngest woman to be elected to the Australian Parliament.
Mm-hmm,
Ross
mm-hmm.
Kelly, the first woman to represent an ACT seat in the House of Representatives. And then underneath that, there is just a list of just these incredible political superstars. Julia Banks, Quentin Bryce, Linda Burney, Emma Hussar, Cheryl Curnow, Carmen Lawrence, Nova Peres, Natasha Stott-Despoja.
When did she leave?
She left, I think, last year or the year before.
Because, was she in for a while? Or?
Yeah, Natasha Stott-Despoja.
Nova Peres.
So she was an athlete, right? I mean, an Indigenous Australian
I remember
athlete
when she started, but it wasn't for long, was it?
No, she was elected and was brilliant at the job but left. And I'm a little unclear as to why she left. They didn't really touch that. Yeah, I would love to.
Have you emailed her yet?
Can you just – no, I haven't.
I'm curious.
No, I haven't yet.
Oh!
She's a massive superstar. Anyway, but yeah, I will. There's lots of people I would love to interview, and then there's a list of people that I actually could interview.
Sure.
Anyway, you're right. But yes,
just keep going with the B team that you've been interviewing. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all.
That's what it sounds like.
No, it's the people that I'm friends with, or who I know people who know them. Okay. That's how I've got like the amazing.
If you know somebody you think Claire would like to interview, shoot us a Gmail.
Oh my goodness, yes, please. Suggestible@gmail.com. Because it's really
suggestible
hard. It's really hard. I mean, no one wants to be emailed, like cold interviewed from some random Australian woman in Melbourne just to be like, come on an interview. It's really hard. And then obviously management don't really want to talk to me.
But you also write emails really aggressively. You're like, come on the show or I'll kill you. I'll find you. I'll kill you. I know what you look like. I'll kill you.
I do. I need to step back, pedal back a bit.
That works on some. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, going back to this, she also interviews Amanda Vanstone and Penny Wong. And just all of these women have these incredibly proud, angry, determined, sad, hilarious stories about their time in politics and often have really similar stories. There's one particular sequence where there must be like 10 women who were telling the same story. Right? And the story is about being in a group of men because most of the time women are in a vast minority in our parliament and they'll put forward an idea everyone will ignore it, and then two seats down, a man will then say the exact same idea and get a cheer, like an applaud. Everyone will be like, well, that's a really excellent thing that Scott has just said, you know. And it's happened so often.
Scott Morrison, he's saying.
But it's so familiar and quite eerie because they're all interviewed individually and yet the vast majority of the women they interview are telling this narrative and telling it so similarly that they've cut together a couple of minutes of footage with them. You know how you like tell one story and multiple people are saying the sentence? That's what it is.
That's awesome.
And it's just great
editing.
Are they
doing name people? Are they like, and then this person said this, Tony Abbott?
In that particular instance, they don't name people, but they absolutely do name other people. For instance, we have a really conservative politician, Corey Bernardi. And when I say conservative, I don't mean just in terms of he's politically conservative and socially conservative. He's kind of on the right-wing extreme.
Right.
And he's, all accounts, not a very nice person at all. He has some really, really nasty views. But Sarah Hanson-Young, who was the youngest female elected into Australian Parliament, was also a single woman and a single mother. And so her stories are just mind-blowing. For starters, there's rumours and innuendo that just spreads like wildfire throughout Parliament House that she slept with lots and lots of different men within the Parliament.
Those dudes are all cheating on their wives as well.
Right, exactly. But anyway, and because she is attractive as well and very outspoken and articulate and very powerful. So I feel like that's a tactic to undermine her credibility.
Yeah.
She also said it's particularly harsh to women who are single, which I thought was really interesting, a really interesting comment to make too. Anyway, she talks about this story of her bringing her child in because at that point there wasn't any childcare within the Parliament House. There is now. And she was in the Senate, and to be able to vote on legislation, you have to be actually physically inside the Senate and when the doors are shut.
Yes.
And if you're not in there, you don't get to vote. And so the doors were shutting and the person that was supposed to be looking after her child fell through and she had no choice but to bring her daughter into Parliament, who must have been about 18 months old.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's footage they show of the Speaker or whoever it is in the Senate calling her daughter a stranger, saying there is a stranger in the house.
Whoa.
Please have her removed. And then a security guard takes her daughter out of her arms and takes her daughter out of the room. And some of the other parliamentarians do speak up and say, well, this just doesn't seem appropriate because her daughter is screaming.
Yeah.
And you can hear her screaming outside the doors. And Sarah's in this position where
she's got
to be put up to vote and she has to work. And so she's, you know, put in this position where what does she do? Does she go to her screaming child or does she make the vote? Now, as an 18-month-old, it's not like the baby was crying or anything. She was quiet. She was just being held by Sarah.
Yeah.
And that is one of the myriad examples of barriers to women entering. So that kind of stuff is
that's
crazy.
Ridiculous.
The other story that's really interesting, Corey Bernardi, because all of the women talk about the culture in Parliament House and how much partying goes on in there. How much booze and alcohol is consumed within that building is just crazy. And because of that, it's quite a dangerous environment for everybody to be in lots of ways, and particularly for women and particularly for young women.
Yeah.
Sarah is up there trying to put forward a bill or a proposal. I'm not getting the words exactly right, maybe a piece of legislation, and she's up there speaking. And you can see on the footage, they put it in the documentary, Corey Bernardi is very drunk. He kept coming in and out from a party down the corridor from this Senate. And often this kind of legislation will be argued well into the night. So it'll be like late evenings by the time they actually get something passed, or they might pull all-nighters. So he's coming in and out from this party. He slowly makes his way around the chamber. He keeps calling out and calling out. He starts singing nursery rhymes under his breath at her.
So weird.
And eventually he gets like a meter away from her and he starts listing under his breath names of men that there's rumours that she slept with, none of whom she has, but just rumours. Like he just keeps listing men. And she's there. Eventually when he starts listing all those men, she flinches in the speech.
Yeah.
She's trying to give. And you can see what's crazy is there's so many men in that room anyway, right? Mm. And the Speaker of the House kind of is interjecting to say, Corey, you know, please be quiet, but nothing forceful. Yeah. He's not kicked out of the chamber.
No.
And Sarah's eventually pushed to the edge and she says, I'm trying to do my job and I've got someone over here who keeps interrupting. And the speaker says, yes, yes, I can see Cora, you need to stop.
Mm.
And he does it again and then Sarah says, maybe we should start putting breathalyzers outside the chamber. And she is asked to sit down. So she's asked, the guy says something like, oh, Sarah, there's no call for that. Oh, you need to sit down now. You're out of line and stop talking and it's no longer your floor or whatever. And so there's that kind of stuff because you think in a workplace, in a corporate situation, when you're responsible for people's lives and making
any situation,
in a school, for instance, of course, if someone was coming in inebriated, they would be removed.
Mm.
And if there was a culture where there are a lot of people being inebriated in the office making decisions, it is fine, I think, to say, how about we start breathalyzing people upon entry? You know, it's just, oh God. Anyway, there's so many moments like that in the documentary. And the women all have different views as well, because a lot of the older women from previous generations have the view that you shouldn't say anything. You don't call out the sexist behaviour. You don't call out when people are sexually assaulting you, which is what happened quite a lot, or making derogatory comments or not listening to you because you're a woman, because all it does is call attention to it. So you just stay silent. You prove your worth by your actions, right? And that's that kind of narrative, I think, that's gone on for a lot of generations. And maybe that was true in that particular era. Maybe that was true before Me Too. But it's really clear that it hasn't actually improved anything in 100 years.
I think you got to, like, stamp on people. That's what I think.
Well, yeah.
Not, like, literally, but maybe, no. But, no, I think you need to, yeah, there needs to change. Like, there needs to be, like, forceful.
Like calling
and,
it
like,
out.
Rules and consequences that people actually abide by.
But maybe it's because the tipping point is starting to go in our favour.
Mm.
Because previously I don't think there was any avenue for those women to go to.
No.
Like there wasn't anyone. They didn't have enough power.
That's what's great about Annabelle Crabb as well.
Mm.
Is that what you mean, like in particular?
No, I mean within the Parliament House itself.
Right. Yep, yep.
Culturally, 50, 20, maybe even 20 years ago,
yeah,
10 years ago even, there was no point in speaking up because nobody would listen.
Yeah.
And you would lose your job
because
you don't want to make the party look bad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense in politics or in any workplace? Because the consequences of a woman speaking up be that she, and still happens now, she gets victimized, she gets rumors spread about her, she gets her face and name splashed all over the papers.
Oh, yeah.
And she loses her job or she loses credibility.
Yeah.
And I think that's changing now, but maybe only after Me Too, really, which is why so many women have stayed silent. So it's just really interesting looking at the juxtaposition of where they were. They look at Brittany Higgins, who came out about the rape that had occurred to her in Parliament House. It's just such a brilliant documentary, and I recommend anyone.
Is it finished now? It.
Yeah, they dropped it all at once ABC iView, but there's also a podcast that goes with it called Misrepresented, and it's hosted by Annabelle Crabb and also a comedian called Steph Tisdall, which kind of unpacks each episode a little bit further. Just for instance, there's one other thing that blew my mind. It wasn't until like I think it's the late 70s, early 80s that women had a bathroom in Parliament House.
Yeah.
So women were having to either use the male toilet, which they really wouldn't do, so they would literally leave the Parliament House to go to the toilet. Like Edith Cowan, the first female parliamentarian, had to literally run home anytime she wanted to go to the bathroom. Luckily her house was close to the Parliament House.
Yeah,
But that gives you just some indication of just how much women just weren't accepted.
It's an awful place.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a great place, does it? But we need more women in there to change things, to make policy that's better for everybody, for women and children.
It's the same fucking guy again and again.
Yeah.
And it's been like that forever.
Mm, exactly. And it's not that we don't want Anglo, really, guys in there. I mean, it's not that educated
large,
white guys. It's not
a large
that.
Portion of the country. Like nobody's saying.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. It's that we want a diverse cross section, and if you have like all the research shows, if you have equal men and women representation, you get better outcomes.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
In general,
that makes
for
sense.
Everybody. Anyway, There you
let's
go.
Let's wrap it up, Claire.
All right, my rant, my political rant.
Have you got an audio email to listen to?
I certainly do.
While you're setting that up, I just need to remind people that they can actually review this in-app. They just open up and go, oh, how many stars will I give this? Maybe 5 would be a good amount of stars. Maybe just think that to yourself. It's so easy to do, just like Motionless in Walrus, who says, the best chats. I've been listening since day one of the pod. Wow, 100-plus episodes, I'd imagine. And have witnessed many funny moments, but I've never felt more understanding than when James was yelling about couscous and everything going on around him at the time. I don't even remember that, but it does sound like me. Honestly, I look forward to every episode, and it's one of my first recommendations for pods, other than James's more successful pod, if you know what I mean. I do know what you mean. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much. I've got a bunch of reviews coming in as well, which we really appreciate it. Keep them coming. I'll read them out.
Oh, amazing. We really appreciate it. I love it so much.
Helps
us
chill out as well, yeah.
It totally does. And while you're there, have a listen to my podcast, Tons.
Hey, great. Probably linked below.
Yeah, linked below. I have an interview this week with Zainab Johnson. If you love Coming to America,
oh my God,
we do a deep dive into that and it's bloody hilarious. But she is just a great comedian in her own right. So, and she's American. If you're American, you might enjoy it.
I'm American.
You're American. She's from Harlem in New York.
I'm from Harlem.
She's great. Anyway, and that's linked below. And if you want, sneak over and give me a review too, because I read reviews out on the show as well.
I'm going to say, sneak over and give me a kiss. Give me a little kiss.
Ooh, well, I'll ask that of you later, but no, maybe not now because I was mean to you before.
You were so mean.
I'm so sorry.
What's up? What do you got?
All right, I have a voice memo. You can send one of these to suggestwithpod@gmail.com or a regular letter. We read both out. No snobbery here. This one is... I'm in a silly mood.
No snobbery.
All right, this one is from Justin. Here we go.
What's up, Claire and Claire's husband, Josh?
That's right, Josh.
Jimmy? Something like that. My name is Justin. I am from Connecticut. And today I wanted to suggest to you one of my absolutely favorite things to watch with my 3-year-old daughter. We just got season 2 of this here in America on Disney Plus. It's a show called Bluey. It's about a family of 4.
We know Bluey.
They're blue healers. I think they're supposed to be Australian, but I don't want to just assume. But it is one of the most witty, one of the most heartfelt and emotional shows without being too self-involved. So if you haven't got a chance to watch it, definitely do. I will actively be happy when my daughter picks that to watch as opposed to like Peppa Pig or some just trash.
That's way
though.
Better than Peppa Pig.
Yeah, thank you both so much. I hope all of you are having a wonderful day who are listening and have a great rest of your week.
We will. Thank you so much. We probably talked about it on this show. We must have come up in passing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's terrific. If you're looking for a kid show that won't crush your soul.
Yeah, it's so good. And I really want to live in their house.
Mm.
Also, we should move to Brisbane. They don't have any COVID up there. They're getting the Olympics, they found out today, in 11 years, and the weather is better.
Why the fuck would you want the Olympics?
What do you mean? What's wrong with the Olympics?
It's because it's a money sink. It's just a black hole.
No, it's not. Oh, my God. You're ridiculous. It's amazing. It brings so much to a city. It creates amazing infrastructure. It has people and athletes from all over the world coming towards it. You get your destination on the map for tourism. It's amazing. And also the Olympics, mate. It's all about bringing countries together.
I'm just glad it's not here. I'm just glad it's not in Melbourne.
God, you're such a bloody... I want to go.
You could go.
I've got a dream of taking my kids in 11 years when it's in Brisbane.
They're not gonna going to want to go. They'll be teenagers who'll be like, oh, Mum, we don't like going to the Olympics.
They'll take a free holiday to the Gold Coast.
We like VR or whatever kids are like then.
No, I have a dream about taking them because I just think it's so incredible to have an Olympics in
Olympic
your own country.
What Olympic events would you like to see?
Ooh, oh my gosh, I love so many. I love the ice skating, not that that's in this particular Olympics because that's Winter Olympics.
Great, so you've named something that's not there.
I love the diving. I love the swimming. I love the long distance, the running, the 100 metres running as well. I like the high jump. Do you know why I like the high jump? Because it's short and there's like a little burst of adrenaline every time the person does the little like high run.
I've got a quick question for you. If you love the Olympics.
There's skateboarding as well.
There is skateboarding. That's
really
cool.
I'm really excited about that.
But like long distance running wouldn't be fun though, would it? Because it's like, oh, here they come. And they're gone.
No, I love it watching it at the end. There's always this like person who's just put their whole heart and soul into all the training.
Oh, you want to be at the end?
Yeah, I watch the end of it. It's really amazing.
So you'd want to be at the
finish arena.
Line.
I want to be in the arena, you know. And in Brisbane, they're going to be doing the swimming in like a stadium size arena, which like sounds really cool.
Isn't that where they always do them?
No, but it'll be like, it sounds to me to be more like an MCG-esque kind of vibe.
Wow.
I I know. It's so exciting.
What's really exciting about that is that they'll never use it again afterwards.
All right. I like the rowing as well. Really into that. Mm. I think that's really cool. What else do I like?
You know what? If you love swimming, that's all they show on Australian TV during the Olympics. It's like, here's the swimming. And the swimming's over. It's like, here's more swimming. It's like, can we see the basketball? No.
Oh, yeah, the basketball and the netball. I'm really excited for that. And I'm excited for the tennis because Ash Barty won the Wimbledon Open. And that, oh, my God, if you haven't watched that, that's actually the replay of that is on Stan. I cried my eyes out. That was an incredible story.
It was a great match.
Oh, my God. And her mentor, Yvonne Goolagong.
Won it 50 years ago.
Yeah. And they're both First Nations people. Mm. And just... oh, my God, it's so inspiring. And she's just this incredibly beautiful person and I just cried. And I made you guys watch it.
Well, I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, I was like, this match is on. It's going down and this match is crazy. And I saw it was on at like midnight at night and I went, oh, fuck it.
I
went to
sleep. I watched the replay.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it was really good. Okay, that's the show.
I'm so glad. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm true to my word and I'm going to leave.
Finally.
But thank you again to everybody. If you want to shoot us an email, suggestiblepod. If you want to give us a review, if you want to do an audio, you just put it on your phone messenger. What's the thing called, Claire?
You do it in app voice on memo. Your phone. Voice memo app. Yeah. It's real easy. And then you can just send it straight away on your phone. And that's how you do it. And I promise next week I'll be kinder to you.
I don't believe you.
Will I?
We'll find out.
I won't eat a fistful of chocolate buttons before we record. Yes,
you
will.
Don't make promises you can't keep. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks,
bye.
Collins, for
have
the
a
edit.
Good week.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.